You're listening to the Driving Confidence Podcast for drivers who want to be calm and confident on the road. We will be sharing tips, stories, and advice to beat driving nerves and anxiety and build your driving confidence. Whether you are just starting out as a learner or have had your driving license for years, if you want to transform how you feel about driving, this podcast is for you.
So today we welcome Jordan Jack Turner, who is a renowned fitness and health coach, breathwork practitioner and mindfulness teacher. He has also completed various challenges and activities, which I can only describe as inspiring. Jordan is also someone that I taught to drive as well. And we've shared many moments while we were learning to drive, not just in the driving, but also in life as well. So, Jordan, thank you so much for agreeing to come on this podcast with us and share some things about what you do.
Oh, thank you both for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure. I think we've been on such a journey, haven't we, Kev? Like, and people won't know this, but like, you were such a pivotal point in what I was doing and what I was sharing. And beyond just teaching me how to drive, you were one of the first people that showed me like the difference of being an instructor and a coach and actually holding space. And I felt, yes, you taught me how to drive, but in that you also taught me how to kind of approach things. And you showed me the importance, like with you just sitting in the car, some of the chat, some of the deeper things you take beyond even like the lessons itself. And I'm so grateful for that. I really do think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the podcast, I really do think that you're world class. And I think that the way that you conduct yourself and the way that you're looking at it in a deeper way, right, it's not just like this like surface level transactional experience, right? It's actually about genuinely caring, genuinely supporting, generally showing up, looking at different things and deeper things that are going on, yes, within the driver, mate, and but also beyond that. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that.
Can you carry on? Can you
see how big his head is getting? This, and people won't be able to see it. They can just hear it. They won't be able to see how big his head is getting.
But I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I really do mean it.
I do remember, though. I mean, obviously, this is some time ago, isn't it, now that you two first met and sort of like the lessons and the PT sessions as well that Kev was having with you.
I still don't know who got the best deal there.
Yeah. And I do remember each time Kev coming home and saying, well, we spent as much time talking about, you know, having these really deep and meaningful conversations about coaching. And I do remember that neither of you were just doing a job. You two clearly just struck up a really valuable relationship.
Yeah, it was good. It was memorable is what we'll say.
Yeah, we had many memorable moments, right? Kev had to be extremely patient with me. In one of the lessons, I have to tell this part, one of the lessons, what happened? I pulled over to the side and popped one of the tyres. So I had to learn how to change a tyre in a lesson.
All the experience and learning. Yeah, it's
so good. Exactly. And you were just unbelievably patient. I just remember it. I was just looking to see you to crack, break. Surely he's going to crack now. Surely he's going to break. And I just looked and he didn't. You just was remain calm, remain absolutely, oh, it's fine. We just it was another learning moment. It literally just turned into just a lesson. And it was like, here's a lesson right now, rather than something that's, oh, it's gone wrong or it's bad or it's terrible. It was just another opportunity to learn, like things that can happen, that not everything always goes to plan. Not everything always goes smoothly. It's like, how do we deal with the challenges? And there's a challenge in front of us. How are we going to deal with this one? And so even that become a learning moment. But very funny looking back. But
well, enough about me. Although I'd love to more. We'll stop there. Jordan, tell everyone about yourself, because I know what you do and where you was and what you've become. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
So for me, I suppose we call it health and wellness coach or fitness coach and breathwork practitioner or mindfulness, whatever the kind of labels and words that kind of go on. I'm just very passionate about having a heart-centered approach to health and well-being and also seeing how that translates to other areas of life, right? And it's really interesting that like being on this podcast today, which is linked to driving, is people even often ask me, like, what is breathwork? Some people, it's become quite popular recently. Like, the challenge prior was there, but now many people are more open to it. But there's still plenty of people who's like, what even is that, right? Or why would I even engage in it? Why would I do these kinds of practices? And I always make a joke and say, well, you're alive, you're here, you must be doing something right. Yeah, you're breathing. But breathwork to me is any time we choose to take conscious control of the breath, conscious engagement with the breath. It's one thing we can do automatically, but it's also one thing we can do consciously. And I actually use the analogy a lot around driving, in the sense of doing breathwork is like being in the driver's seat rather than the passenger seat of life. Right. So you're putting yourself, you're no longer just sitting back and watching, you're actively engaged. And it gives a sense of empowerment. So you can, and I always use the analogy as well, so you can shift through the gears. So you understand your nervous system, you understand what kind of, maybe you're very heightened. Sometimes I can be very heightened and have a lot of like passion energy there going, or sometimes we can feel heightened in the sense of like anxious, concern, worried, all kinds of things going on. Sometimes we can feel quite sleepy, tired, fed up, like, oh, do I even have the motivation to go do this today? And it's about being able to consciously move through those gears, right? And every gear has its place, right? And tell me if I'm wrong, but we need those lower gears for the hills, don't we? Is that correct? Right? Yeah. And like, if we're getting up to a bit of speed, we might need some of those higher gears. And I think often in life, plenty of times we're sometimes struggling to drop down those gears consciously, and we sometimes get stuck in a particular gear, right? And it's about being able to be empowered, to be in the present moment, to understand your system on a deeper level, and realize that you're actually, we spend a lot of time focusing on all the things we can't control, but it's about re-empowering us to realize the few things that we can, and being able to have that space and the acceptance of the things that we can't, and being able to approach it. So yeah, and I love that. I'm super passionate about breathwork, super passionate about fitness. I love to try and actually bring that into my own life as well, and make sure that I'm living and breathing the practices, whether that's the physical practices with the training, whether that's with the mindful practices. And I just love sharing it. Like like my passion is generally just sharing it. And I share it in all different formats, in all different ways, but can we share it? And right now, this is a way to share it.
I love the fact that you bring up those driving analogies, because actually, everything that we go and learn, so much in psychology, in stress management, the driving analogies are everywhere, aren't they? It's always used as an example for how we do something and how we learn something and how we take it on board. I guess because the driving thing is so relatable for lots of people.
Yeah. No, I find it great. I'm just really interested in sort of like, obviously, going back to the drive analogy there, where someone's stuck then, you know, say they were stuck in that high gear. And so how does that then affect them personally, I suppose, body-wise, breathing-wise, mentally? How does that then affect them?
So, for example, if someone's kind of in that more heightened state, right, they're not able to drop. They can feel hyper alert, very concerned about, the mind can be working overdrive, lots of thoughts happening at once, lots of distractive thoughts, struggling to be present, maybe noticing what can go wrong a lot without that balance, because often we can get caught on one side rather than seeing the full equanimity, the full balance of what's happening. So that can happen. They can often feel even physical sensations like dry mouth or not feeling tingly, like in their body, kind of hot, sweaty. There's all kinds of ways. I'm talking quite extreme. Sometimes that's very subtle. Sometimes it's very underlying, kind of happening underneath the surface. Sometimes it's so physical and it's so overwhelming for an individual. And they're just looking for that way of like, okay, what can I do here? And I think it's about assessing, like, is this something subtle? And maybe they just need something gentle and a gentle practice, just a little bit of a little shift. Sometimes people, it's like a reset's necessary. It's like we're going to need to put on the brake, handbrake up, and a full reset is necessary. So it's very dependent. It's very individualized. Everyone's got different challenges, different approaches, different things that work for them. So it's not necessarily like a one size fits all. Here's this technique, and this is the one thing that's going to solve everything for you. Like, I'm not a big fan of that. Although there's some simple things that are kind of universal that generally, if you do it, it works, right? There's just things that if you do that, this happens, right? I go talking about analogies, I often use that with like exercise. It's like, okay, well, if you do a squat, well, you're going to be working your legs. There's no way around that. It's just, but how do we approach that? How are we going to bring ourselves? How do we combine that with other practices, depending on people's needs and wants? But yeah, that's how that kind of affects people. And the lower gears can affect people in like can lose concentration different ways because you kind of can be quite shut off. So in some of those, when we're kind of in that lower state, we can be quite shut off. We can doubt ourselves a lot, really struggle to think that we're worthy of even doing this. Like I'm too stupid, or I'm an idiot, or who cares anyway? Or what's even the point of doing this? Like, it's not even going to matter. It's not going to change this or that. And I'm never going to be able to. So we can be quite down on ourselves. That can lead to tiredness. That can lead to sleepiness. That can lead to just pure, like, being... There's a thin line between being carefree and careless. And we can get in these places where we're careless. We can be so caught in our own world that we forget about what's happening around us as well. And I think that can massively affect not only our own state, but everything that's happening around us too.
I think that's a really good point to mention, because so often for us, for example, we're talking to nervous drivers, anxious drivers. And so there's a tendency for us and the driving instructors who we talk to and the people who come to us, there's this tendency to always focus on that high emotion, that when somebody is in that higher state where they're hypervigilant, hyper alert, and it's affecting their breathing. I think we often forget about the people who are in those lower emotional states, the people who have got to the point where I can't be bothered. What's the point? There's no motivation. And so are there different breathing exercises that you would use for somebody in that state who's actually sort of almost had enough, given up with regards to their stress or anxiety, as opposed to somebody in the higher state? Would you use different breathing practices?
Absolutely. There's some crossovers. So there's some techniques that kind of crossovers because they're kind of equalizers in a way. They kind of bring us into this space. But there's absolutely would use different practices. And sometimes there's also about using a similar practice, but a different approach to that same practice. Because sometimes it's not always about completely changing the practice itself. Sometimes it's just how we approach it, maybe how we frame it, how we engage with it. And so that's sometimes the case. But yeah, absolutely. Sometimes there'll be different practices. Also, like for people observing it, sometimes if we actually pay attention, we can even notice it and we can start to see in other people and recognize that. So if someone's in front of us, for example, and sometimes we think it's quite obvious, sometimes it's more subtle and there's plenty of subtles. But some of the obvious things are if someone's in a heightened state, they're typically be breathing in the upper chest. It's typically going to be in their mouth. You might notice them swallowing quite a lot bit more often. Right, that type of thing. Their breathing will be quite rapid, quite fast. If someone's in that lower state, they often chest will be quite collapsed typically. And you may even see them sign a lot, like a lot of little, I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but a lot of sighs, a lot of like long breaths, taking very little breath in. So not taking much in. Because if we think of the breath like there's a life force, it's like allowing that life force to move through us freely. Right. So if we're only taking a little bit in, it's like, oh, we're not really feeling worthy of life in a way. Right. We can only have a little bit. Right. And we're like fed up and we're breathing a lot out. We're just trying to let go of all this tension, all this stress, all this past stuff, whatever's going on. Right. Sometimes very in the immediate time. Sometimes it's things from the past just lingering in the system. And then if we're in a heightened state, it's very, very rapid, typically very fast, erratic. You can often like see something moving a lot, tingling, maybe quite sweaty, that type of things that we can also sense in people.
And it's something that we do probably more in my NLP, where we calibrate with people, where you start taking more of a notice of those micro things that they're doing. And that can give you lots of different clues, because some people don't actually realize they're in that state because it's just been very gradual and it's been come over probably years potentially with some people, and then they've got to that point, isn't it? And it's how do you know that you yourself have got to that point?
I think that's just so true what you just said. And as you were sharing that, the first thing I was thinking of, and it'd be interesting if you find it happens like through lessons or if instructors are noticing this as well. For example, sometimes doing something like driving or doing something that's challenging out of our comfort zone is sometimes the things where we realize, like say, as ourselves, how do we recognize? Well, it requires us to be conscious, to notice, to become aware. But sometimes we're so caught up, so distracted in our lives, right? And rightly so. This isn't like, oh, terrible and feel terrible that we're doing that. Understandable. Life full of so much distraction. There's so much going on. There's so much to focus on. And often, even when I share this practice, like, first thing sometimes people think is, like, what, another thing I've got to do? I'm already worried about enough. And now I've got to think about worrying about my breathing. I thought that thing was already sorted for me. Like, how is that going to help me? That's another thing to add to the list, right? Like, oh my goodness. And it's not quite that. It's more about that checkpoint, checking back in, just taking stock, having a moment where we kind of like, sometimes we can't do that for long periods of time. Sometimes we might be able to set 5 minutes aside. How do we know we're in that state? Well, it requires us to be aware that we're there, first of all. And that sounds so silly, right? That sounds so ridiculous. But how often do we find ourselves doing something, I don't know, eating some food or walking or anything, and you didn't even realize you did it? You're just kind of doing it so automatically. So life's just coming with these things are happening and building up, and certain stresses, and it might be at work, and there might be things in the family at home, and just building, and so much going on, and we haven't necessarily just took stock. So how do we notice? I think innately, we all kind of know where we're at. We know deep down, if we take a moment to pause, if we don't take that moment, then how do we know? If we take a moment, we're like, oh, hold on a minute. There's a lot going on here. And it's about making sure people, and I think even the parts of these conversations, knowing that you're safe to be able to do that, that it's okay, that there's people and there's certain places and environments where they recognize that that's okay to actually take stock. Often people want to. They might know deep down, but kind of denying it because it feels vulnerable or it feels weak or it feels, or a mixture of different things. Or they're like, oh, hold on a minute. If I go here, if I go into this stuff, now how am I going to then focus in the day? Because it's too much. It's Pandora's box, right? And I don't want to open this up. So I think it's about starting really gently, just noticing. Maybe we can ask a couple of questions like, do we feel heightened? Are we sleeping well? Are we feeling like tired and low in energy? And we can just ask these couple of things and be like, do you know what? I am. And that's not to then look at it and go, okay, we're broken. And like that means that we're terrible and we can't function and we're dysfunctional and all these. It's just about recognizing, okay, maybe then I can start to engage in some things that will support me feeling a little bit more optimized. I often look at it as like not looking looking at ourselves and going, oh, this is good or this is bad, this is terrible. Let's just look at, okay, how can we bring you into a more optimal state? And what does optimal mean for you?
And when you said they're optimal for you, because everybody is different and they are going to be in a different place in life all the time. So one moment, this might be it, but then next year I might be in a different place. I don't mean literally a different place, but in a different place in yourself. And things will be different, won't they? I would have to do different things because I'm different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that thing of actually sometimes is about just making a change, taking control and doing something in a small bit. Practice can make better and it doesn't have to be perfect. Just something. Anything is better than nothing. So, you know, it's that bite size approach sometimes as well. So that checking in, that noticing, and then going, okay, well, I can't open Pandora's box right now. And that's perfectly okay. But I can take a regular pause and just check in. And that's enough. That's good enough for right now.
Totally agree. I think it's so important to realize. I think often think you've got to go all the way into something, you've got to dive all the way. But I'm a big fan of making the bar of entry actually lower. Often this about like society can be very much about achieving the best and going more and more and more. And that's fantastic and it has its place, sure. But actually sometimes it's about, can we bring the bar of entry down? Like I teach a lot of health and fitness and that kind of thing. And I don't know, it might be someone going, I want to run a marathon. I was like, can we just bring that bar of entry down? Like people think, oh, okay, I'm not fit enough to run a marathon, not fit enough to run 5K or whatever. It's like, okay, well, maybe we can bring that bar of entry down to maybe that's, we're going to start with half a kilometer or we're going to start with 250 meters or whatever. It doesn't matter how small, it's just about the fact that you're starting and that creates momentum. So exactly what you said, it's like, it's, if we can recognize it, rather than thinking you have to dive into Pandora's boxes, can we just maybe just step on its tail? Right, step on the tail of the beast. It will revere its head eventually, but we must step on the tail. We don't need to have to take on the whole monster straight away.
I have so many questions, probably not got time to do them today. But I suppose the first one is, so I've noticed in myself, this is just being hypothetical here, this is for people that are listening to this, noticed in myself that I am feeling stressed or it's just too much and I can't be bothered anymore. What is breath work and how will it basically help me? I think you've answered it a little bit, but what is breath work in the first bit? How would you describe it?
Great. Every time we consciously engage with the breath, we're doing breath work, right? So there's thousands of different techniques we can do. There's all kinds of ones. Yeah. But the moment we're consciously engaged, so we simply become aware. So if we're listening now, we simply watch, okay, I'm breathing. Just become aware of the breath. And as you become aware of it, you might notice where you're breathing from. So you may notice that breath's coming in and it's in your chest, or you may notice it's in your tummy or your rib cage. And don't try and perfect it in any way. Don't try and change it. Just by becoming aware of it, you already start to improve it, right? Because we innately already know. And then you just simply watch it, and you might see that it's quite fast or it's quite slow. You might notice that you are taking big, deep breaths or very shallow breaths. And there's subtleties to notice, but simply, first of all, it starts by becoming aware. Now, this is just watching it. Now, the foundations of that is, can we start by becoming aware and not judging it? And just going, it's okay. It's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's just simply as it is. It's a bit fast right now. I'm talking. So my breath, as I noticed it, is a little bit more rapid than it may be normally. My breath's in this moment coming through my mouth because it has to as I'm talking, right? When I'm pausing, it's coming through my nose. But in this moment, it is. Oh, I'm noticing, because we're in a podcast, we're live in a way, right? It's like, maybe it's slightly heightened right now than it would be in a typical sense. I've noticed a tiny bit heightened right now. So I've become aware of it. Now, one of the simplest tools and one ways to remember it that we can engage in and try and remember, right? And there's all different stuff. There's actually lots of simple tools. I'm a simple guy and I'm a big fan of simplicity. I don't see the need to overcomplicate everything, right? But one is, which will sound like you absolutely can't take this because we can't take intoxicants while we're driving, right? And I don't recommend this to anyone, but you take some LSD, right? What? What's going on? What do you mean LSD? No, with the breath. So we breathe light. So we try and make our breaths light and light. Light breaths. See if we can make them long but light. Silent and soft breaths. See if we can make them silent. And then deep. Deep in the full diaphragm. So we take LSD. So we kind of slow down, preferably through the nose, if we can, right? And see if we can just bring our breath lower into our abdomen, into our full rib cage. And we just slow down the breaths. A really nice breath count is like 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out. This is like a really simple, easy technique because that brings the breath cycles down to 6 breaths per minute. And that can bring us down out of a very heightened state. But it's also not so low that it doesn't actually also bring us up into like a calm alertness. It doesn't bring us completely in like a really super sleepy, just in a more calm state, right? And that's great. So another technique that's really a great technique, very simple to use in the military, is box breathing. So we inhale for 4 seconds. We hold for 4 seconds at the top of the breath. We exhale for 4 seconds and hold at the bottom for 4 seconds. So it goes round like a box, 4 seconds each. If that's too much, you can even start with 2 seconds or 3 seconds around the box, right? If it's too little, we can bring that to 6 seconds. But 4 seconds is great because what that does is, because we're counting and going through that box and holding and working our way through, it also makes sure that our mind is engaged. We're still alert. We're engaged. We're awake. It's these little breath works we can do in those sorts of settings. There's other ones that we can do while we're like sitting in a seat or laying down, or what we can do in more active settings. But those two things, like that LSD technique, right? The low, slow and deep. It's just a way of remember it, making a joke. And the box breathing are like things that we can do all the time, really simple. And we hear about these. Sometimes people hear about them and they go, oh, I tried it or whatever, or that they want like a really powerful, strong, life-changing techniques. And there are techniques out there that are huge, like they really give you these big experiences, but simplicity is also key, and like having those consistencies with those simplicities. And sometimes people, you will notice a change. What I like about breath work is you do notice an instant change. You do really get an instant feeling, an instant change. However, like anything, it's like being consistent with these things. Right, having consistency and practicing it. It's like you can't go to the gym once, right? You have to keep yourself consistent with it. But you will feel benefits even in a single practice.
So there you sort of said, oh, I talked about two techniques, but actually you talked about three. Because when you were describing the breath to start off with, you were describing my favorite technique, which is mindful breathing, where actually you're just noticing and observing the breath and not judging it and just letting it be. Because we're different in that way, aren't we? Because Kev likes a technique to have those sort of, this is what I do. Whereas for me, I much prefer that noticing, that just observing as it is, as it changes without judging. So, yeah, so there was three great techniques there. And even as you were describing the mindful breath, your voice changed, you changed. I could feel me doing it while you were talking about it. So, yeah, it was great.
And I just love the way you kept it simple. You know, this is what we try to do is in anything we do, one is simplicity. It's because if it's simple, you're going to probably do it more. Because it's, and then sometimes it gets to the point where it's so simple, you don't even realize you're doing it.
Absolutely. Talking about simple practices, there's one that is so simple, it's easy to dismiss. But to me, and you mentioned at the beginning, like the challenges I do and these kind of things, one of the simplest techniques that's helped me through some real tough challenges, right? Physical challenges, and also even challenges like I've faced in my day-to-day life. It's a technique which is simply, let's see. And what do I mean by that is, let's see is, well, often we go, I can't do something. So we look at it and go, I can't, or whatever it's, I can't, I'm not possibly going to be able to drive, or I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, or whatever it is. And positive thinking would tell us we need to then go, no, I can do this, and I must do this, right? And that's great, and it has its place. But sometimes that's very difficult because we feel like we're lying to ourselves. So I really love this technique, let's see. So I've done this a lot in endurance runs. It's like I'm going for a certain distance and it's like, I'm not sure I can continue. I don't know I can do this. Let's see. And that let's see has become one of the most powerful mindset tools for me. And it's so simple. Anyone can apply it. There's not a single person who can't. And you simply go, let's see. Let's see. Let me be open to being wrong. Because we always want to be right. But actually, sometimes in life, it's great to be wrong. An example is, I can't drive. Let's see. All of a sudden, you stick to it. You learn to drive. Well, it's good to be wrong, right? Right? I can't pass my tests, right? You did pass it. It's good to be wrong. So sometimes actually it's about embracing being wrong. Realize not every thought in our head is telling us the truth. Not every limiting belief is correct. And the mind has this ability to minimalize things that are sometimes important to us. And it has this also ability to magnify things that are not important and make great importance of them. And that simple thing, let's see, is a great neutralizer. It's a great ability to be like, let's see. And it's a great doorway to what Tracy was talking about of mindfulness. Because you go, let's see. And then you become the watcher. You're just observing. And when you're observing, you're watching, you're not caught in your old stories, your old programs. You're present. You're alert. You're awake. You're noticing what you're noticing. You're seeing what you're seeing. And you're just having an experience. And you realize some experiences, some days on the road or some days in life, so-called positive or pleasant experiences, some are less so pleasant, but throughout it you realize they're all experience. They're either giving us lessons of growth, or they're giving us moments of enjoyment, moments of gratitude, whatever it is, they're just there available to us. And sometimes it gets really challenging and on top, sometimes it's wonderful and enjoying the wave. But let's see just becomes the most, to me, it's become one of the most powerful, simplest tools I would love to share with people.
It's just nice, that one, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw your face as you said it. I'm like, yes, we've got some gold dust there.
I probably do something similar, you know, in my lessons when I'm teaching people. When I say, okay, well, let's just give it a go. You know, it's something very similar. But let's see is just two words, and it's just simple. Let's see. And that, again, is probably just so encouraging to someone. To do anything. And I know some of the challenges you've been on, and it's just ludicrous, by the way. Just what I put it out there, what you've done, it's just like, why? But anyway, getting back to the let's see, it's just like, it's so simple again, isn't it? Which is where we got to that. It's so simple. Let's see. Love it.
Yeah. And whenever that doubt creeps in. Because the thing is, often with, we know, and actually one of the earlier podcasts in this season, our guest was talking about, they've been researching driving anxiety. And the most common cause of driving anxiety starts with the thoughts. So it starts with those thoughts of, I can't do this, or what if this happens? So there's a great sort of like counter there to nip that from the first thought, to nip it in the bud, to respond to the thought with an answer. So instead of just allowing the thoughts to roll and carry on, what you're suggesting there is that you acknowledge, you're actually acknowledging the negative thought and going, okay, well, let's see. So it's, you're not ignoring it. You're not trying to bury it. You're not trying to pretend it's not happening. You're acknowledging it and going, well, let's see. I love it.
I love what you just said there, Tracy, because I actually had a kind of a question for you both, right? As your podcast, but kind of
You've not listened to this podcast before. We asked the question.
No, absolutely. And I don't mean it that way. I'm not taking the place, right? It was more of a case of something I noticed that you both do, which I find incredible, right? And it's something that's like a kind of not tangible, right, to explain to other people. But it's also what I noticed with meeting you, Kev, and our lessons, and even just noticing it also with you, Trace, even now. One thing, and you just said there about acknowledging like with a negative thought, but also I find that also with people, I find sometimes something that's people is the genuineness, which is difficult to teach. You can train someone up, you can teach them techniques, you can show them what to do. But that genuineness of literally look, being able to see someone and truly acknowledge what they are and where they're at without judgment. Just literally that person in front of you, they're coming to you as they're coming to you in all kinds of ways, right? Right? Whatever wonderful way they're turning up, right? And just to be there and just to see, not necessarily to always even offer something or to try and fix or change or none of that stuff going on, just simply being able to. So I'm interested, like, also, it's like, how do you share those intangibles? Or I don't know if it's not really a question. It's maybe just something more that I wanted to point out that you both do, I suppose. And I just think I would love that, because I think that's a really important thing to know, that you come into an environment and a space where you're like, oh, this person's just literally going to see me as I am. And it gives you permission to see yourself as you are, acknowledging without that judgment. And the moment that happens, it's like, ah, oh. Because I remember being times with you, Kev, would be there and I'm like, oh, I'm ever concerned. You were just that calmness, kind of, and a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke and genuinely checking in. Like, I felt you genuinely cared. It wasn't like pretending to care. You're not asking, oh, how are you? And whatever, not interested. It's like genuinely caring actually just makes you go, oh, no, like this person actually genuinely has my best interests at heart. And obviously it's important for us to have that for ourselves too, right? And I teach that a lot with my own coaching. It's not about creating me as that thing. It's more about empowering the individual for their own inner coach, right? I'm just playing a role, a mirror, to just mirror back their own inner coach to have that experience. But yeah, so that was kind of like a question. How can you share those, or for all of us, like, how do we get those intangibles across?
Yeah, and it's hard, isn't it? I mean, that's the reason we started the podcast, because it was recognizing that as people were coming to us, and you have to make yourself quite vulnerable, don't you, when you go to somebody for help. You're showing somebody a side of yourself that maybe you've hidden from others. First of all, you're making yourself vulnerable. And then those people were coming to us and feeling that it was just them. They thought that they were different. That it was just them. And so the whole reason for us to start the podcast was for us to be able to say to everybody, hey, it's not just you, to actually normalize the situation, because then that brings into the conversation those intangibles, I think. When you realize that this is lots of people and you're normalizing a situation, then people will share a bit more. And then that's when you make the links and you pick up. We've learned so much through our clients, but also through our guests on the podcast, just talking about these situations. And the links they just pop up wherever you least expect them almost.
I think for me, I try to get this out of people who I work with, and it could be I work with anyone, wherever. But it's first off, let's find out about you. You know, find out about the person. I am who I am. But the word I tend to use, or what I found that really worked for me, was I just want to be authentic.
Yeah.
You know, I just literally, I can't pretend to be someone else, but what I can be is authentic to me. And then, like you said, I've got a genuine interest in people that I work with. You know, I'll find out information and I can use that to help them find out who they are and how they tick and what they do. And I do mostly driving lessons and training and that sort of stuff. But I think people don't realize that life is like driving. You've done it right back to the beginning of the podcast. You mentioned driving as an analogy. Well, driving is life. You go through life. You start in first gear. You get to sixth gear. And then, do you know what? You might even then go into reverse.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
I just thought of that at the top of my head.
That's but a great
this is, one. This is the way I am. I just tried to be authentic with people. And I think if people can be then authentic to themselves, you've got a win-win.
Whoosh, that's incredible.
I don't know if that answered the question or not.
No, that, absolutely. That was amazing. That's amazing.
We don't often get questions asked to us, do we?
I just saw you doing it. And that's what I'm passionate about. And it's interesting. And what you're saying about making the discussion, like, I just saw what you're doing and I see the crossover. And just like you were saying, it seems like, okay, well, it's a driving lesson or it's a fitness class or it's a breathwork session or whatever. But it's about building these foundations that become universal to all kinds of areas. And I think if you start and you have the process consciously with solid foundations, you can bring those principles to other areas of your life. Like, I'm forever grateful for, like, as a kid, my boxing coach, Tony Wright. And I always in my mind go, okay, what's the right way? Right, his name's Tony Wright, so I used that the right way. Right, and what that is all about, he's just showing me, like, all those lessons I learned there I can apply in other areas. It's not just about boxing. And yes, there's certain skills involved in different things that we're doing, whether that's driving, whether that's in the gym, or whether that's whatever. And there's skills to learn and there's techniques and there's all these stuff, and that has its place and it's fantastic and it's very important. But there's also those, like, intrinsic, those intangible, those lessons, those things that we can bring to all kinds of areas. Because ultimately, anytime we take on a challenge, like, I'm a big fan of how we work with challenge, because I think if we can build a great relationship with challenge, we're building a great relationships with lives and ourselves and the people around us, because it's the one thing we can't avoid. Challenge is always going to be there. And if we have a great relationship with it, we can embrace those challenges, even some of those very real, very raw, very challenging things that can be presented to us. We're prepared for them. We have ways in which to work through them. It's not about being perfect. It's not about perfection. It's not about any of that stuff. It's just the best way we possibly can, knowing that we can consciously go through these and we can come out on the other side as grown, and we've evolved, and we've had experiences. And isn't that what, in my view, isn't that what life's about? It's an experience, right? It's an experience that we're here to have. And some of those experiences can be life-changing. And I think if we go there with an open mind, fully embraced, ready to, we can have so much more, like, so much more out of it. Like, it's funny, like, with these, like, even, like, with the lessons we had, like, with driving lessons, like, I don't even drive much nowadays. I live in London. I don't drive a great deal. But those things I learned in the driving, I take to all kinds of areas of my life. Like, that was a challenge. Like, that's a challenge for me. It's something I'm doing. It's all kinds of stuff. And we sometimes have our stories or things involved going into that as well that we can bring that we don't always realize. Like, I remember certain ones that was coming, like, into mind. That's why I did it a bit later, and all kinds of stuff that was in my head. There was things happening and things going on in my life. And it's just so nice to sometimes have that thing that can be slightly new in your life or separate, but it gives you a chance to start fresh, a blank page, and approach the challenge in a brand new way. So I just love it. I know I'm going on and on, but it's just because I just think what you're both doing is incredible. I think it supports people so much. I think it's so important, and I think it just supports people way beyond the driving world.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, this is one of the things that we say, that you learn some skills and they're life skills. It's not just for driving, definitely. Jordan, when we invited you on, is there anything that you were thinking, oh, I really want to talk about this? Or is there anything that we haven't covered? Is there a question that we haven't asked you that you're now thinking, why didn't they ask me that? Or I really wanted to cover that.
To be honest, no, I think like what we covered was like what I had in mind, like from listening, what you said, what you do. That's what I wanted to share. There's no particular question I think, oh, do you know what? I wish we covered this. Or, but I love that it went with the flow. I love that it kind of can share as it needs to share. I think the only thing as we're closing now that I would could possibly say in any way is I also, my wish is that sometimes when you hear these things, that that in itself can be overwhelming. It's like, because you hear the end of the journey. Like in my own coaching, I don't like to say too much of what can happen or what happens with other people or what's possible. Sometimes that's nice because it gives you the encouragement to do it in the first place because you realize what's happening. But sometimes that takes some of the organic growth and organic learning out of things, right? Because it's like it becomes this whole thing, oh, I'm expecting to have this life-changing moment. And all of us, oh, what? It wasn't life-changing. This just happened today and it seemed very mundane or very typical or unexpected or whatever it is. But actually it's about letting go of those expectations, going in organically, and just the openness, things where we can be openness. And I'm just a big fan of just starting, and instead of just starting mindlessly, because we talk about mindfulness, it's like we can just be mindlessly doing something because we have to, it's a box to tick, and great. And if you're doing that, that's fine, good, but you can get so much more out of it. Why just do that? Right? I say the same with the gym. Gym's great anyway. You're going to get loads of good benefits. You're going to get healthy. It's fantastic, but why do it mindlessly? Why not do it mindfully and see how much more you could get out of it and how much more you can understand about yourself and how that can support in all other areas. So, yeah, I would just say I hope people don't feel intimidated by what's possible. Right? Hopefully they don't feel like, oh, so all these stuff's going to go on. My wish is that people don't feel that, like they're broken or wrong or perfect, or even as I'm sharing this, like it's about perfection. No, it's just about having tools and having a way. And having that understanding. And the biggest message I always love to share is just do it consciously. Start there because you're so much, like I really feel every individual is so incredible and there's so much in them and so much I learn from everyone. And I would just love for people to just be able to realize how incredible they really are. And from that space, just this moment you're conscious and realize everything's there for you, right? And you can start to make these conscious decisions. And it has to be best for you. Like I always say, don't believe anything I say. Practice it. If it works for you, there you go. You'll see for yourself.
Right. Start where you are and then let's see.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Tracy. That's exactly what I want. That is it. I took 10 minutes to say that. That is exactly what I wanted to say. Start where you are and let's see. That was all I was trying to say. Sorry for taking 10 minutes of everyone's time. Tracy, put it up. See, you can see where coaches show us how we overcomplicate things, right? That's what's great about being around other coaches. Simple, right? my own advice I didn't take. Simple. I love it, Tracy. I love that.
So, Jordan, where can people find out more about you? Where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram, Jordan Jack Turner on Instagram. And yeah, that's also pretty much, it's my website as well, jordanjackturner.com. So that's the best way. Keep in touch and feel free. If anyone wants to reach out or ask any questions or particular techniques or whatever, please know that they can. And it's a pleasure just to be able to share that with people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a journey that's still continuing. I'm not in reverse yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jordan. That was brilliant. I think there were some really helpful nuggets of information in there. I think that would be great.
Oh, thank you both. I genuinely feel invigorated. I really enjoyed the chat, to be honest. I just loved it. I love these types of conversations. They're fantastic. So thank you both for inviting me on. And it was just good to catch up with you both as well. I feel uplifted just from that. So thank you.
I'm just going to jump in here to let you know about our Drive Calm Journal. We've created a 12-week prompt journal to support our listeners to take action and improve driving confidence. The journal includes questions, prompts, and exercises to create an action plan and an opportunity for reflection afterwards. Search Drive Calm on Amazon to take a look. We hope it helps. Thank you for listening. Find out about the different ways that you can work with us on our website, www.confidentdrivers.co.uk, and begin to transform the way you feel about driving.